Thank you, choir. Take your Bibles, please, and let's go to the book of 2 Kings and the second chapter division, 2 Kings chapter 2. We'll begin our reading today in verse 9, reading through verse 15. The title of the message is The Rapture of Elijah. The Rapture of Elijah, the prophet of God. Some wonderful challenges and lessons I think we see in this biblical narration of what literally and actually took place. 2 Kings chapter 2, begin with verse 9. I trust you have your Bibles and follow as we read the Word of God. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken up from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces, tore them into two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophet saw, or which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Now this is a very interesting story, and we see, of course, the taking up of the great prophet of God by the name of Elijah. I like those names, Elijah and Elisha. They speak to me of men of God with the power of God on their lives. But Elijah, as far as we know here, was in the prime of his life. There's absolutely no indication here that he had any physical problems or that his eyes were dim, as God sometimes would say about some of the prophets of God or the men of God. It seems that his natural strength had not left him at all. There's absolutely nothing in the Bible that would make us think that. And yet God was ready to take him out. And he had an exodus like only one other person in all of the Holy Writ, and that was Enoch. Elijah was raptured, was taken out of here to be with Almighty God. Now Elijah knew that he was going to be raptured. Elijah knew that he was going out that way. God had revealed that to him. And yet we see a very humble man here, not bragging or not gathering everybody on the Jordan River and saying, Listen to me, I'm fixing to be raptured. Pay attention to who I am. He isn't filled with pride. He isn't filled with arrogance. But he knew he was going out, knew he was going to be raptured. How would you react? What would you do if you knew you were going to be raptured today? What would you do if you knew you were going to die today? If you knew you were going to be raptured and go to be with the Lord? Some people say, well, I'd do penance. Or I would repent of some things. Or I would do some deep soul cleansing. Or some kind of self-abdication. Purging of things from my life. And that sounds pretty good. Here's the only problem with that. You and I ought to be living in such a way that if we were told we were going out today, that we wouldn't have to do any of those things. We would be walking with the Lord in such a close way that we wouldn't have to change any of those things by living the kind of life. Elijah just kept on doing what Elijah had been doing. He didn't change anything about it. He visited the school of the prophets. He said to Elisha, you go ahead and follow me. He talked to him. And I'm saying that's the way we ought to be. Somebody asked an old farmer one time, said, what would you do? As they asked him, if you knew the Lord was coming in 5 minutes, what would you do, mister? He said, I'd finish plowing out the row that I'm plowing right now. In other words, what he was saying is, I'm living my life in such a way that if the Lord took me in 5 minutes, I'm ready to go. I live this way every day. I don't have to change anything. That ought to be true. Now, if you're not saved, you need to change something because you're not ready to meet God and you're not going out ready to meet Him. By the way, you really don't know when you're going to meet God, do you? And I don't know. It may be today. Only God knows that for sure. But whether you go from a factory or whether you go from the office or whether you go from the kitchen ladies or wherever it may be, it doesn't have to be a fine cathedral. Wherever you go from, just be living your life in such a way that you have no regrets if that would be the case. You're living for Jesus wholly, totally, completely. That's the way we should be living. Elijah tried to send Elisha back. Elisha said, I want to go with you. Elisha said, I want the power of God. I want to be the prophet of God. Did he really want to be? Elijah just kept on traveling, and we know that he went, according to the first part of the chapter, he went to Bethel. And he said to Elijah, you stay here, I pray thee. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. They were there at this territory where all, some of these things had happened. And old Elijah said, no, I want to go with you. He said, I want to follow you. He said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And then when he went to Bethel, he said, the Lord's led me to go to Jericho. And he said, you stay here. And Elisha said, oh no, as the Lord liveth, I'm going with you. Finally he turned to him and said, you know, I'm fixing to go down to the Jordan. And you stay here. And he said, oh no, as the Lord liveth, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be right in there. You see, that's importunity. God was testing him. Elijah was testing him. Sometimes God will allow some things to come in my life, in your life, just to see how sincere and how earnest we are about what we say we want to do for the glory of God. And oh, Elisha had his mind made up. Amen? That's the way we ought to be. Our minds ought to be made up. We ought to be sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he said, you passed the test. You did well. You've gone on with me down to the Jordan River. And so they came to the Jordan River, and Elijah took his mantle, and he struck the water. And 50 of the other prophets, the good prophets, were sons of the prophets, were watching. And they saw them cross over on dry land, the Bible says. Well, Elijah had the power to do that. And Elisha said, I'm going with you. And he crossed right on over on dry land to the other side. And he said, I'm not going to be deterred. Well, Elijah opened the door for him. In verse 9, it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He said, yeah, I do want something. It's not fame. It's not fortune. It's not money. It isn't all those things that some of these divine healers and these TV evangelists really want, all that. That wasn't, he said, I don't want it for that reason. I want it to be for the glory of God. And he said, ask what I shall do for you. What did he want? He wanted a double portion. That means specifically, I think, the right to the firstborn. Deuteronomy talks about that. That double portion. That promise that was promised, as it were, to the firstborn. And he was not necessarily, I don't think, asking for double material things and all of that. But he's saying, I want a like portion. I want the power of God on my ministry. And I want to be able to serve God, Elijah, like you serve God. He understood that there was something important about serving God, and that is to have the power of God in your life. Amen. If we don't have the power of God in our ministry, we don't have anything. If we don't have the power of God at this church, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have anything. Jesus said to the early church, God said, you go and you stay in that room and you tarry until the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you shall be imbued with power, and then you can go out and preach the gospel and souls will be saved. But you, my friend, have got to have the power in order to do that. And the early church had Holy Spirit unction. That's what we need today. Elijah asked for power for the holy calling. By the way, if God's called you to be a missionary, young preacher boy, somebody here, the thing you need to have in your life is the power of God. That's what you need to desire. He said to him, you've asked me for a hard thing. Thou's asked for a hard thing. And what did he tell him? He said, there's some requirements here. And there's nothing impossible here. There's nothing unfair about what he asked him to do. It may seem like it, but there's not. He said, if you see me when I'm taken from you, from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be. He said, if you see me when I'm going up, when I'm taken, he knew he was going. He said, then you'll get that request. You'll get a like portion. But if not, you're not going to do it. Now here's what I see in that, and that is, my friend, that there had to be committed, dedicated spiritual eyes in order to see what God was showing him. Do you know why we don't see more of the mysteries of God? We don't look at God with spiritual eyes. We're too carnal. We're too in the world. We're too carnally minded. We don't see those spiritual things. If you want to see God and experience God, we have to look through spiritual eyes. It has to be a spiritual thing that we're going to see. And sometimes we don't see it. Why? We're too dedicated to the material. We're too dedicated to this life. We're too dedicated to making money and having pleasure and doing the things that please our flesh and doing the things we want to do. And we never really get mature and we never see the real deep spiritual things that God wants us to see. He said, that isn't a requirement. Elisha, if you see. God says that to us today. Amen. If you see. Isaiah saw it. He saw the temple of God and the throne of God, and he saw the train of God in the very temple that filled the temple. And I'm telling you, it had an impact on his life. When we see with spiritual eyes who God is, it will impact our lives. We'll see the glory of God. We'll change our lives to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pompey, the Gentile general who went into the temple and pulled back the temple curtain and looked in, and he said, I don't see anything. No wonder, Pompey, you were a Gentile pagan, lost. You'll never see spiritual things like that. You got to be born again. You've got to want to see it. You've got to desire it in your heart. And then when we enter into the Holy of Holies, the God the Father spoke to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Bible, John chapter 12, Jesus heard the voice of his Father. Everybody else said, I think it thundered. You see, that's where most Christians are today. I think it's thundering. We need to hear the voice of God. We need to want to hear the very voice of Almighty God. Paul was on the road to Damascus. God struck him down in the middle of the day with a light brighter than the sun in his presence. And Paul heard the voice of God. The others around didn't know what it was. They couldn't figure all of that out. But Paul heard the voice of God. He saw with spiritual eyes what God was doing. He desired it. He wanted it. And that was a requirement. And Elijah said to Elisha, you've asked me a hard thing. But look at verses 11 and 12. And it came to pass, as they still went on, they're walking and talking, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Look at verse 12. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into two pieces. He was so moved and so excited and so humbled by it. He said, I saw it. I see it. He wanted to see it. And Elijah said, if you see it, it's going to be all right. And you're going to have your request. Notice that farewell. Notice the farewell there. Here's Elijah going up, and Elisha's there. And he saw him leave. He did not say, dirt to dirt and ashes to ashes. That's not very exciting, is it? And he didn't say, dust to dust, any of those things. What he was saying here is the Spirit to the great capital S Spirit, the Spirit. He was saying the man of God finally going to be with Almighty God. He was excited about it. He was saying the fire was going to the fire, the great fire. Elijah, the power of God, taking him up. And Elisha saw what it was. It happened quickly. Those 50 men on the other side were looking to see what happened. It happened so quick, they really didn't know what happened. But a great thing took place. And Elijah, when they came back, after that happened, they were looking across the river. And whenever Elisha took the mantle, it fell. Some great things happened. And though they didn't see all that took place, God took care of it. But I'll tell you who did see, and that was Elisha. Now, I want to mention about three things here about the idea of death that we see. One is simply this. Death is not a condition. It is not a state that we're in. Amen? Death is not a condition or a state that we are in. We often look at it that way, but it isn't that way. You know what it is? It's a door. Just like a door down there. You can't maybe see it over on the side. I walked over there. To get over there, I opened the door, and that's how I get over there. Death is a door. It's not a fixation. It is not all of these other things, a condition, but it is a door. It's a bridge that we walk across. It is an entrance into glory. Amen. Death is an entrance into glory. You know, 60-something years ago, 63 years, a little plus, I was in my mother's womb, but maybe 9 months before that, I didn't exist. All of a sudden, and I don't remember the occasion too well, but I do remember my mama talking about it and a little bit about it. I wasn't, and all of a sudden I was. I was not in this earth. I was not living here. I didn't exist. But all of a sudden, I was born. Just born. And all of a sudden, I'm like, hey, where am I now? You know? Though I probably didn't really understand all of that right then. But that's like, dying is like a birth. Think of it that way. Dying is like a child being born. Born in an act of this life. One single act. Just like being born. One single act. And we are introduced to the eternal life to come. It isn't so bad. Really, it isn't so bad. It shouldn't be thought of as morbid. It shouldn't be thought of as depressing. You see, death to a Christian, my friend, is triumph. It's not defeat. It is triumph. I'm bound by this old body right now. Chained to it. Get mad at it sometimes. Don't want to fool with it sometimes. Doesn't do what I want it to do sometimes. Lots of times nowadays. Doesn't do what I want it to do. Wants to sin. Wants to do all of those things. One of these days, all this garbage I've got called my body, I'm going to be released from it. My soul and spirit are going to go off, and I'll be unchained, hallelujah, and I'll go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's triumph. That is not defeat. Take off the chains that bind the spirit. We're liberated. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Present immediately with the Lord. Don't have to wait. See, when you watched your loved one go, my friend, they knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister went to be with Jesus. And if we could bring them back, it would be the most selfish act in the world to bring them back. We can't do it, and we wouldn't want to do it in those terms if we understand where they are. So we see God's idea of death, not so bad, is it? And then we see the type of the rapture. It's not so bad either. See, there's a day coming when this mortal, when we are raptured out of here, this mortal shall put on immortality. If it happens today, I will get a glorified body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read 1 Corinthians chapters 13 and 14. You think, listen, we're going to have some fun in heaven. And I mean, we're not going to be bored in heaven. We're going to have a body that has dimensions that you have never dreamed of. Now we're limited to about five. Hearing and seeing and smelling and tasting and so on and so forth. But we're going to have dimensions then where we'll be like Jesus. And I won't have to tell you about he could walk through a door but sit down and eat fish and honeycomb. Amen. That's a pretty good deal. And he could be here and he could be out there on Mars just at a thought if he wanted to be. Listen, we're not going to be born in eternity. Hallelujah. The rapture comes. I'm going to be given a body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. Incorruption. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Exchange this body of humiliation. And the Bible says, for a house that is not made with hands. A house made by God. Where? Eternal. Eternal in the heavens. Raptured into the presence of Almighty God. It can't be bad, folks. I see another lesson here, something else that I think we probably ought to see. And that is when God takes one workman off the scene, he provides for another. And God will perpetually do that until Jesus comes again. God will do that. Look at verse 13. The mantle fluttered down as Elijah went up, and Elisha saw it. And then verse 13, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Here's the test. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. Remember, there are 50 over there on the other side of the river. See what's going to happen. What happened to Elijah? What's going to happen to Elisha? Is he going to make it back across the river? How's he going to get back? What's he going to do? Whereas the Lord, and the mantle of Elijah fell down from him, and he smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, amen, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Just like he went over with Elijah, he came back over on dry land. I believe those 50 guys were impressed. I believe they were impressed. They stood by the bank on the other side. And that represents his ministry. Now his ministry starts. What does he need? The power of God. The mantle of Elijah. He understands, that's what I need. I've got to have it. And he calls on God. Where is the God of Elijah? And the God of Elijah showed himself to be God. And when the sons of the prophets which were in view to Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they began to respect him because there was power there. How do you know? You see, God's servant sometimes falls and God just raises another. There was a J. Frank Norris, and then J. Frank Norris passed off the scene. There have been others. Always God does that. Don't fret. Don't worry. God's got it all under control. One of these days, I won't be pastor of this church. I don't know when that'll be. I may die. I could get killed. We don't know. And one of these days, I'm going to be so feeble. I was talking to our evangelist that we've had. Help me out. Who did we have? Brother Farrell. Couldn't think of his name. I have a hang up on it. We emailed each other today, and I've got another meeting with him in 4 years, and he emailed me and he said, "I'll bring my cane and you help me up on the platform." I said, "Well," I emailed him back and I said, "I'll do my best. And I want us to try to play golf. We may have to crawl, but we'll try to do that, you know." We're kidding each other about it. Listen, we don't know. But let me tell you something. If Jesus doesn't come while I'm pastoring this church and I die or I resign or I have to retire or health problems come, let me tell you what, God's got somebody else. And you just have to look at it and realize that. And by the way, it's very wise not to always live in the past. It's much wiser to live in the I am. God, it says, "I am the I am right now." We need to live in right now and do what we've got to do. I don't care much about people's buzz about what they used to was. Amen. We need to be something for God today. Do something. Well, when I was under so-and-so's ministry 50 years ago or 100 years ago, I did so-and-so. Well, do it now. You may have to change your ministry a little bit. But how do we know the power is upon a man who is set apart from the gospel? How can we know that? I don't know. You just know it. You can't describe it. You can't delineate it. You cannot formulate it. You cannot conjugate it. You can't do all of that. It's either there or it isn't there. How do you know it's in the church? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying to you today, the thing we need more than anything else in our church is the power of God. That's what Elisha realized he needed. That's what we need, the power of God. How do we know it's on our church? The Spirit of the Lord, the power and presence of God. Because the Spirit of God moves in our congregation. God is present. I believe He's here today. I believe God is present. I tell you what, He's not in a lot of churches today. Churches that don't believe in the virgin birth. Churches that don't believe in salvation by grace. Churches that are preaching out of some perverted version that takes away the deity of Jesus Christ. I don't believe He's there. But I believe He's in an old-fashioned Bible preaching, soul-winning, love Jesus Christ church. And we need to be more than numbers. We need to be not just numbers, but deep and close to the Lord, wanting the power of God in our lives. Brother Ridgeman and I were talking before the service. We had prayer together at 9 o'clock about the services, and we were talking about a situation and a mutual acquaintance. And he said, "I remember a certain man saying something like this." He said, "Man, we had the numbers. I've learned something over the years. We had the numbers, but we had no depth." I'm telling you, we need both. If we have depth, we're going to grow, and we're going to reach lost souls. And the church is going to realize that. If there's power in the church, I believe this, that souls fall into humility. We don't leave cocky. We humble our hearts in the presence of Almighty God. Amen. We are filled with adoration for not the preacher, but God. We are filled with confession of our sins because we understand the presence of an Almighty, all-seeing, all-knowing God who knows our hearts today, who is here. We have dedication because we love Him. And I believe you get saved. You get saved when you realize the presence of God is here. Now, God won't force you, but I believe the Spirit of God will deal with people who are lost in a service. And what you need to do is say yes to Christ and not fight Him. Come and be saved. And what you need to do as a believer is do what's right. Do what's right. Do what God has said to you in your life today. Let's stand, please. Our invitation will not be lengthy. May God help you to come if He's spoken to you. Something in your life that He's touched your heart about. To come and praise Him, pray. To come and be saved. Maybe as God leads you to join our church and to serve Him together. Friends, I believe God is here. We need to pray and live right so that we can have the power of God on this ministry. Where are we with the Lord today? Father, thank You for letting us look at Elijah and Elisha. And thank You we realize, Lord, that sometimes You put us to a test to see if we're sincere. And help us to have the spirit of Elisha who said, "No, I'm going on. I'm going on." Give us faith. Help us, O Lord, to realize that we need to be prepared for death. And if we've received Christ as our Savior, we need not fear death. We need to look at death as our ally, as our friend, as triumph, and to praise You for giving us that peace in our hearts. If there's anybody here that doesn't have it, oh Lord, let it be today. Let it be today that they'll come and get that peace of knowing they're going to heaven. Speak to our hearts. Have Your will now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.